you want that to go.
We have some takeouts on stories we're following this week, and we have our cast of characters with us to talk about them. We've got Paul Eisenstein, the publisher of the Detroit Bureau. He's in Los Angeles at the LA Car Show. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Celeste.
Also, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen and a Louis Story. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
So, Paul, out there in LA, we were Detroit's probably still reeling from the news that Fritz Henderson is no longer the CEO of GM. So you're at the auto show, and you actually heard from, instead of Fritz Henderson, you heard from Bob Lutz, their vice chairman. What did he have to say?
Bob Lutz substituted because Fritz was supposed to be the keynote speaker at this year's auto show. Bob wanted to talk about cars, but he didn't have many opportunities to get away from the subject of the shakeup at General Motors. And he was surprisingly blunt, saying that he was surprised by what happened. He apparently didn't have a clue, and that he, like a lot of other people, is not very happy about the shakeup there. He seems to be very upset about it.
Well, Bob Lutz is generally a pretty straight shooter, but he also usually would rather talk about cars than just about anything. So let's talk about those cars. From what I understand, the LA Auto Show doesn't have all the bells and whistles that other auto shows have had in the past, but what it has is lots and lots of small vehicles.
Oh, you've got a few cars out there, like the Audi e-tron, which you're talking about all sorts of power, you know, something like 400 horsepower, but it's an electric car, so that's an interesting thing. And a lot of electric cars here, a lot of talk about this so-called electrification, and a lot of small cars. This is what's real interesting at this show. You're really seeing the future is downsizing. So we saw the launch of the Ford Fiesta, which is the American version of
the
very popular European vehicle.
Yeah.
Which you know is a subcompact, and they're hoping to make a real dent in the market with it. We're also seeing Uplight, which is a prototype of a vehicle that VW may bring in. All sorts of small cars, Mazda 2. We're really seeing that the future of this auto industry is moving away from light trucks into crossovers and very, very small cars.
Okay, that's Paul Eisenstein talking to us from the LA Auto Show. He's the publisher of the DetroitBureau.com.
When's he going to drive an Audi e-tron? That's what I want to know. So, Louis Story, finance reporter for our partners in the New York Times, if I lent somebody $45 billion and they paid me back early, I would be really happy.
You would be happy. And in fact, the government is declaring, the Treasury Department is declaring that Bank of America repaying the $45 billion in bailout money is a victory, is a success. A spokesman for the Treasury Department last night told me that this shows that the government is pulling out of the private sector and they're declaring victory here, as is Bank of America.
All right, but what's really going on behind the scenes, particularly on the B of A side?
So Bank of America has been hunting for a new CEO. You know, their old CEO, Ken Lewis, retired early, very much under fire. They've been having trouble getting a new CEO. Think about it. If you're some bank executive out there, do you want to come run a company that's under the thumb of the government? No, you don't.
Well, I'll do it.
You'll do it?
Public radio, you know, we're under the thumb.
They'll pay you
a few million dollars. Sure, I'll be happy to do it.
But, you know, bank executives are very wary. So this frees Bank of America up to find the new CEO. But it comes at a real cost, Bank of America.
Let's just say the reason it frees them up is because the pay requirements won't be under the federal oversight, and they can pay the anybody, which is presumably what anything, which is presumably
right. Bank of America will not have to report in about
all of its bonus
payments. But, you know, there were really two sides to this. So Bank of America wanted out. It wanted out from the government. But the government also, and the Treasury Department in particular, they're facing pressure about this bailout. You know, Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, was on the Hill yesterday.
And he's going to be there today, too.
Yep. I mean, he's there a lot. And yesterday he said, look, we're close to ending this bailout. You know, people in Washington are talking about maybe using some of the bailout money to help create jobs. That's the topic of today with the jobs forum.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, we're seeing a shift to try to get this money out of the banks and put it to help Main Street, which has been, of course, the criticism of the government is, let's help Main Street.
Yes or no? Does this mean Bank of America is healthy?
They are healthier.
Healthier.
They are going to have to raise a lot of money from private investors.
Okay.
But,
right.
You know, we've got a rough economy ahead.
Healthier, that wasn't a yes or no answer.
I'll take healthier.
Sorry.
Now we're going to go to sports. And, you know, Ibrahim, you could kind of say that this weekend is a job interview for some of these college football players, right? We have two of the best college teams out there are going to be playing each other on Saturday in the SEC Conference Championship. We've got the Florida Gators, and they're playing the Alabama's Crimson Tide. What are you expecting out of this game?
This is the biggest game of the year. This is, might as well be the championship game, the national championship game. Florida has Tim Tebow, who is probably one of the most record-breaking quarterbacks in the history of college football.
Heisman candidate,
but they also have a linebacker named Brandon Spikes. Now, with any of these teams in the top level, if you're looking at what they're made of and what they're comprised of, what the DNA of a championship team is, you have to have a defensive star and an offensive star. Alabama also has a top-flight coach. So
right.
Florida has Urban Meyer, who's won national championships before. Alabama has Nick Saban, who's won a national championship before, but they also have Mark Ingram, who's the son of the former wide receiver for the Giants, of the same name, Mark Ingram. He is another Heisman candidate at running back, and then they also have a linebacker, Rolando McClain, who is the silent type. He'll come at you, and he'll pop you in the face and make you hurt and not say anything about it. These two teams are evenly matched. It's going to be scary in Atlanta this weekend to see who comes out on top.
So do you have a prediction then?
I'm going with Florida because they got the juice, but we'll see, man. This is what it's all about. The winner gets to play Texas in the national championship game.
Wait, what about BCS? What about Boise State? Do they have any chance of anything? They're my favorite.
You might as well take the C out of BCS because it's not really a championship game after this. It'll just be the bowl series after this.
Hey, now, quickly, because we have a team that is the first team to start 0-18, and it's not the Detroit Lions.
It's not. It's the New Jersey Nets, and they are now the worst starting team
in the NBA.
NBA history. So it's sad for Nets fans, and hopefully
they're the best at something.
But they're actually not that bad. They have a lot of players, top players that are injured. So there's hope for the Nets. When all their players come back full, there's actually hope for the Nets.
And Kiki Vandeweghe is the coach. He's a former Laker, right?
Absolutely.
He is. It's true.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, we're going to go back to Bhopal, India, 25 years after one of the worst environmental and industrial disasters that affected millions of people.